going to hear Psalm 27 in a moment, but just a little bit about the Psalms, and it's difficult perhaps for us to fully grasp the centrality of worship in the life of the Jewish people in the early times. So for them, worship was the, well, we might say the heartbeat of the whole community. Israel could no more exist without worship than worship could exist without Israel. And the Psalms played a significant part in the life of that worship. Perhaps we can understand just how important worship and the Psalms were to the life of the community by thinking of worship as being the veins which link the heart with the whole body. Worship, which went out through the people's everyday life and flowed back from that life into worship. And the process was accomplished as the people came together for worship and returned from worship to their homes. So worship and everyday life were intertwined. They couldn't be separated. And so it's not surprising that the psalmists took everything to God through worship. And as we read the Psalms, we see that they are rooted in reality. An individual's sickness or a people's despair, the longing for a safe delivery of a child or a people from war, the harsh realities of drought or famines, or the rejoicing of a community on festival days. And just about every emotion can be found in the Psalms. It's anger, resentfulness, cursing, national pride, fear, terror, anxiety, trust, confidence and calm, passion for others, joy and thanksgiving for one's own plenty and prosperity. Now, those who composed the Psalms were not afraid to address emotions. And even when those emotions that they expressed may not be our own, they are those of others in our world. The Psalms shows humanity for what it is, complex and divided, good as well as evil. And from their origins in Israel's life of worship, the Psalms continue to be used in prayer and worship by Jews and Christians alike today. I'm going to look at Psalm 27. We don't know why it was written, but it does appear to be referring to a time of hard testing and a time of waiting for the Lord and a longing to be in a secure place with the Lord. So longing to be with God, longing to be in a secure place. Some of the things that the psalmist homes in on. Now, we may not, like the psalmist, find ourselves outcasts or pursued by potential murderers, but our problems still plague us, don't they? You know, fear is one of the most disabling and most destructive emotions. Apprehension, anxiety, alarm, panic and worry are words that we use to describe what is really fear on our part. And sadly, so many people's lives are dominated by fear. Fear of soldiers who come in from the bush. Fear of terrorists, a neighbour, a bully. Fear of an abusive spouse or parent. And some people fear for the future, don't they? You know, will I have enough to live on? What if I fall ill? What if my business collapses? What if the crops fail? What if? And if this isn't enough, the media hype increases it, doesn't it? There's the fear of a new flu strain, fear of dangerous youths, fear of people taking our jobs. And the list could go on and on, couldn't it? You know, and what I fear won't be what you fear. But my experience may help me to relate with your different experience. No, the psalmist had learnt not to be afraid in times of trouble, but to trust in God. But David's primary prayer in this psalm is not for protection, but rather for the privilege of dwelling in the house of the Lord all the days of his life. He desires nothing more than to seek the Lord and to gaze on his beauty. David longed to be with the Lord all his days. It was in the Lord's presence that he felt secure. Somebody called Erwin Raphael McManus wrote this: "My soul craves, but for what I don't know." I wonder, what does your soul crave? What do you desire? What are you longing for? Listen to a short clip from a video. We hear people with different experiences and different expectations of life discuss their own longings, both spiritual and material. So what then are you personally longing for? What are your goals and your ambitions? David's longing, the psalmist, was to be with the Lord. That was his desire, his ambition, his priority. And if we really want to seek the Lord, if we really want to develop our spiritual life, then we begin by assessing what stands in our way. And that requires honesty, doesn't it? Perhaps we say yes to far too many things. You know, we feel our life is empty, and so fill it up to deaden the pain of emptiness. But all our going and doing fails to address our core of happiness, of emptiness. And think of new technology, the television and the computer, videos, the internet. How much time do we spend on those compared to the time that we give to God? And how often do we stop to recharge our batteries? You know, we dutifully pull out our diary and fill in, don't we, all the empty spaces between activities. And then what happens? We get stressed out. We get short-tempered as we journey between poorly planned activities that add little to our spiritual well-being. And do we ever find time to enjoy what we have accomplished? Now, Solomon in Proverbs wrote, "A desire accomplished is sweet to the soul." You know, we can fall into the trap of always having too much to do, dashing from one obligation to the next without perhaps even having finished the previous one, or taking time to stand back and savour a job well done. And it's no wonder, is it then, that we ask questions, you know, what is life all about? And we worry that our existence seems meaningless. There was once a young man named John, and he wanted to give his life to Christ. He wanted to be a Christian. And he had just moved into a flat with a friend who gave him a book that would have everything that he needed to know. Yes, the Bible. And just at that moment, another friend came in. And he was also a Christian. And he wanted to help John on his Christian journey. And he gave him the book that every Christian needs. Not the Bible, a diary. Diary. And he gave him a substantial diary, so large that John had to put the Bible down in order to take it. And the friend went on, he said, "It's service for the Lord now, mate." And he continued to offer advice to John. "Now, as a newcomer, we recommend that you get stuck in. You feel useful, feel part of the team. Be a doer, not just a hearer. And you'll really find really true happiness when you're doing, doing, doing." So here we go. Monday, it's children's work. Tuesday, it's choir practice. Wednesday, it's working on the building night. Thursday, it's the entertainments committee. And of course, there's nothing like that for a fun night out, making friends. Oh, and Friday, yes, that's youth night. Hope you can drive, because we need people for transport. Oh, and I nearly forgot, coffee rota. See you later. John picks up a pencil and he fills in all the dates. He wanted to get stuck in, be committed. He treasures the diary and he takes it with him. As for the Bible, well, he's a bit tied up now. Maybe he'll pick it up later. In that weekly activity, there was nothing about Bible and prayer group. You know, maybe it was on the weekly list. It looked good, but nobody went to it. But that didn't matter. We're busy doing the Lord's work. You know, we can be so busy doing, 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 that we get on with God's business without stopping to ask him if we are doing his will, if we are serving him where he wants us to serve. You remember the story about Mary and Martha, how Mary wanted to sit with Jesus and Martha was busy preparing a complicated meal for them. And Jesus told Martha that a simple meal would be enough, because that would leave them time, valuable time, to be together. It's as if Jesus is saying to Martha, be still for a while. You know, sometimes God wants us to be still for a while. Sometimes he requires us not only to stand still for a while, but to wait for his instructions. You know, in the final verse, the psalmist speaks of waiting for God in the darkness. And of course, those who have been there know that darkness is not a nice place to be. Words like hollow and empty and paralyzed perhaps describe it. And you know, waiting is often tedious, isn't it? Sometimes torturous, but it is potentially creative. No, the tension that occurs during waiting is what produces the strength, which is its benefit. But in a world of instant coffee, instant meals, mobile phones, digital cameras, our capacity for waiting is undeveloped. But maturity and character and wisdom, perceptiveness and holiness don't come quickly. And perhaps that's one of the functions, isn't it, of the journey through the period of Lent. We are to be schooled in scarcity and by using waiting well. You know, we need to learn to wait for the Lord. Sometimes God puts us on hold. If you are a seasoned air traveller, you're probably familiar with the term holding pattern. It happens, doesn't it, when ground conditions are unfavourable to land. And in such situations, the pilot may announce that he's been told to maintain a holding pattern and wait for further instructions from the control tower. And as this happens frequently, plans have to be made to fill up with enough fuel to stay airborne until they can land safely. The Bible says, wait for the Lord, be strong, let your heart take courage. Now, when God puts us in a holding pattern, we need the faith to receive his promise, and also we need to carry enough spiritual power to stay airborne until we next hear from the control tower. We need to carry enough fuel to handle delays and wait for clearance. And sometimes all we can do is pray and wait. No, we're not promised an easy life, but God will be with us on the journey, even if at times apparently absent. You know, we need to put our trust in God. And Psalm 27 is also about trust as an attitude to life. And the psalmist speaks of trusting in the Lord, even when we feel he is absent. And it's when we come to God with openness, trusting in him to be there and to answer, that real comfort and help come to us, and we feel secure. The psalmist expressed confidence in God. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Fear no one. Security is in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Have faith. Do not despair. Trust in the Lord. So says the psalmist. It's no wonder that the psalmist longed to live, to see, to hear, to smell, to taste, and to touch God. To be in God's presence, to be in the Lord's house all his life. What about you? Is that what you long for? Amen.